God's way is so perfect. When you trust in the perfectness of God, one and only true God, He will lead you in the way that you should go. Now, not everyone has the exact same path. Not everyone interprets the same way. We're called the body of Christ. And the Word says that we differ one from another, but yet we come together so seamlessly. And everything in life, because God is life, Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, then when you trust that your steps are ordered of the Lord, think in your mind, there are no mistakes in my life. Not saying you've never made a mistake, but my steps are ordered of God. And whatever takes place, then Romans 8:28 kicks into place. All things work together for good. Now, they don't always work together for good if you are not the called according to His purpose. But if you are, watch out. Something incredible is about to take place in your life. God has called us to a place of understanding His will. And Jesus prayed it like this. He said, Father, not my will, simple prayer, but if you'd pray this prayer, if you pray it every day, you can pray it a few times every day and just say, God, not my will, Your will be done. And Lord, I know my steps are ordered of You. You'd be amazed at how your life will transform. You'll see things you've never seen. You'll walk in the fullness of who God has called you to be. You're not in bondage. You're not in slavery to anything. If you'll receive Him for who He is. Not necessarily what religion or man's traditions teach, but for who He really, truly is. And what's so incredible is who He is, He's that in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. If you believe that, put your hands together like this and say, yeah! Yeah! Come on, let's do something like this. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on. Lift your hands. Lift your voice.
And praise.
Praise His holy name. Come on, say it. I give the Lord a shout.
Give the Lord a shout.
I give the Lord a shout.
Give the Lord a shout.
I give the Lord a shout of praise. I love to lift my hands.
Lift your hands.
Lift my voice.
Your voice.
Bless His holy name. That's what the Lord says. The Word says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. I'm prophetically declaring this into your life, and you can receive it because it's bound by the Word. This is the greatest season of your life. This is the day God has made. It didn't just show up. God made it. He formed it. And the Word says He did it for His purpose and for His pleasure. It was and it is created. Today is a day unlike any other day. And you can attain that. You can attain in your heart and your mind, this is the greatest season of my life, no matter what you may be going through. That's why James says, listen, you guys have to learn how to count everything in a joyful manner. I mean, how do you do that? Count it all joy when you fall into different types of the trying of your faith. Because what God is doing in there, the Word says, He's making you so stable and sound that you realize that you lack absolutely nothing. And if you would simply employ what God has already placed in your hand, your world will change tremendously in a very rapid, expeditious way. This is the greatest season of your life because Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Come on, band, make a sound. Let the band play. Come on. Come on.
Lift your voice. Lift your hand.
Come on.
Praise His holy name.
Just worship. Just for another minute or so. Come on, just worship.
Lift your hand.
Joyfully worship.
Lift your voice. Praise His holy name.
Do you know who the God is that you serve? Do you know how great the God is that you praise? Psalms 139 says, your ways are too wonderful for me. They're just beyond imagination. The psalmist says, I cannot attain to it. I can't just reach up and take a hold of it. Your ways are so beyond my, they're too wonderful for me. And the scripture goes on, and then the word declares and says, but where could I go from the presence of the Lord? And where could I flee from His Spirit? If I take the wings of the morning, fly to the farthest part of the earth, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and just go someplace far beyond where I'm, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of the dead, there you are. Where could I go from the presence of the Lord? And where could I flee from His Spirit? You know, the patriarchs of the Word and people that have walked, the people we read about that saw the miraculous wonders of God, the woman with the issue of blood, and Bartimaeus, and the Hebrew children in the furnace, and David, and God, all these wonderful things. These people said, this is the day. Now, it may not have looked like the day. I don't imagine when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were facing a fiery furnace and the anger of the king who was in charge. So he thought, I don't imagine that they would have thought, man, this is just one of the, this is the greatest day of my life. But it was. But it was. You're called to a different place. You're called to a different time. This is not yesterday or the day before. So the word says, don't take any thought for yesterday. Paul said it like this. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm pressing forward for a higher call. Let's call it a higher order in Christ. A higher order. Do you know how great and your ways are too marvelous for me? I can't even wrap my imagination around how great you are. And yet you lead me and He guides you in the way that you should go. Something incredible is going to take place in your life today. And the incredible thing about God is we can think about what we'd like God to do, what maybe you'd like to be delivered from. But God's ways are not only perfect. This God, my God, the scriptures say, His way is perfect, but His ways are endless. And because of that, we're called to go from glory to glory to glory. And God has countless forms of glory. One of His forms is love. Another form is righteousness. One of His forms in the wilderness was the rock. One of His forms in the garden was the tree of life. He is endless in His forms. And the word says, be not conformed, or I say conned into a form, conned into an idea, but be transformed, transform into a metamorpho, changed by the renewing of your mind. So you can prove, bear witness to the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. And in that is the greatest day of your life. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout this week. Give the Lord a shout. Shout to your God. I want you to reach over, take someone's hand and say, it's great to be here. Come on. Bless somebody. Bless somebody. Bless somebody. You can take your seats this morning. The Word of God and the message of the Word of God is Christ, and Christ is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. John the Baptist would declare, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And the Word says that He was anointed to make preparation for the way of the Lord. Not as just a word, but as a significant word. I want to say to you today, there's something excellent about who you are, no matter where you found yourself. There's something excellent, something extreme about who you are, when you are, and that you are today. And God wants you to know that. And the reason it's important to know it is, it's one thing just to say God's going to bless you and God's going to do this and God's going to do that. I mean, that can get a crowd going, get people really excited. And I love to hear those kind of things. And it's true. But God does all that he does through a royal bloodline. Did you know that? We are called kings and priests unto our God. He said, you are kings and priests unto me. Then he said, you are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. God said, declare this to all my people. So I'm saying what God said to declare. What he said to declare in Israel, I'm declaring it here and now. You are a chosen. You may not feel chosen. Sometimes you may feel like you're chosen to trouble or chosen to problems, but you are chosen. And everything, all things work together for good, the word says. But not just for everybody, not just because, it says. All things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. It's important to know. It's important to know. Bartimaeus said, Jesus, thou son of David. He made a connection with who Christ was. The woman with the issue of blood says, when I touched the hem of his garment, the centurion, his servant said, speak the word only. You have to know there has to be a connection so the word of God can play out in your life, because everything connected with every spiritual reality is attained by faith in that reality. The word says it like this. It is written, the just shall live by faith. Scriptures say that Jesus could not do at one point in time many mighty works because of unbelief. The faith of God that dwells in you is the access to everything coming together for good. Oftentimes, I'll just say it like this. All things are going to work together for good. It's just going to work out. Because a word of admonishment, a word of encouragement, a word that keeps you focused on who Christ in you is the connection with everything has to turn out good. Not only good, but better than it was. Better than it was. But it's knowing your position. There was a time that God anointed Solomon as king. And the word says, Solomon one day, he said, I'm but a youth. I'm just a young guy. And he says, I don't even know how to go out or how to come in. Because God had presented himself to Solomon in a dream. And God had said to Solomon, what is it you want? Now, if God asked you that, I wonder what you'd say. God said, what do you want? Tell me what you want. You might say something like, God, heal my body. Or God, make me wealthy beyond my imagination. Or help me make my house payment. Or God, you know, make my wife treat me better, or my husband treat me better, or make my kids mind me. I mean, I ask a lot of things. Or you may even say, God, if you give me all the money in the world, I could change the world. Jonathan believes that. But there is the power of royalty is privilege, right? Royalty has privilege. But again, the power of privilege is responsibility. If you are in a hierarchy, if you stand in the place of privilege, just talking about how privileged you are doesn't necessarily give you the power, the authority of being privileged. But it's the ability to respond. Thus, responsibility. And it takes faith. You know, it's easy to react to something that's frustrating, but it takes power to arrest your attitude so you can walk in the authority of your privilege. I mean, come on, how many, anyone, who's born again in the house? Let me see your hand. And if you don't, we're coming after you. We're going to get you saved before you leave the house. You just can't leave. So if you're, how many are born of Jesus Christ? And who is he? He's King of Kings. So if you're born after him, you're born of him, who are you? You're royalty. It's just the way it is. And you can't think like a slave and live like a king. You can't think about an attitude or an idea of want and need. Thus, God says, Take no thought for tomorrow, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. And listen, I get it. I know. I understand. If I get up here and tell you you're going to be rich, and I get up here and tell you you're just, you know, your day is going to just turn out exactly the way you prayed for it, number one, I'm going to be lying to you. Because you're not going to get rich. You are rich. You're wealthy in ways that resources and financing and funding cannot ever satisfy you. And I actually know this firsthand because I have for years have been called to minister to businessmen and people of influence and people that have a lot of wealth. And I'm going to tell you something. They are no more at peace than you are. As a matter of fact, a lot of times, most of the time, they have far less peace than you do. Because privilege without responsibility, knowing how to respond, can be slavery. You can be a slave to your own prayers. You can be a slave to your own desires. As a matter of fact, the work of the flesh is to bring you into slavery. Fear is slavery. To be afraid that it's not going to turn out right is not royalty. It's not thinking like royalty. It's the bondage of slavery. God said to his people, you're going to go into slavery for about 500 years because you've bound yourself in slavery through disobedience to my will and my word. Now, I want to tell you something. It is not difficult to obey the word of God because Christ said, when you're born in me, it's no longer you that lives. It's I that lives in you. But you understand? Do you see what I'm talking about? You have to take on the attitude of royalty. Christ is royal. You have to worship him for who he is. Lord of lords, King of kings, Prince of peace, mighty God, the Holy One, the great counselor, everything good, great. And that's why the scripture in Psalms 139 says, When I consider you, when I think about you, my mind, my imagination can't begin to wrap itself around the reality of who you are. But I want to tell you something else. We're anointed in kingship to make a difference in the earth. God's command to his people is that you are supposed to rule with influence and insight in the world. And guess what? You're supposed to be leaders. The word says when you should have been teachers, you should have been leaders, you still need to be taught. And today is that not the case in many cases. But the authority of kingship, being related to the King of Kings, means that there is a royal decree on your life. But that doesn't necessarily change anything. So when God asked Solomon, what do you want? Solomon didn't say riches and treasure and long life and my enemies defeated under my hand. What does he say? What he said was, God, help me strengthen your people. Give me wisdom and give me understanding so I know how to discern right from wrong, good from evil. Have we lost that today? Because we are so privileged. And in our privilege, do we understand the ability to respond? Responsibility is the authority of royalty. Knowing how to respond. And Solomon knew that. So he said, God, he said, give me an understanding heart. Now, a lot of times you'll pray and say, God, if you would give me this, if you'd help me take this over, if you'd grow my church more, if you'd grow my business more, if you'd give me this and you'd give me that, then I'll do great things. But it's really not what God puts in your hand that gives you the ability to do great things. It's what he puts in your heart. It's not really what you have your hands around. It's what your heart is wrapped around. It's not what he's doing for you. It's all that he's doing through you. Because the manifestation or the revealing of God's kingdom, as we're told to look for it, can't be seen over here or over there. It's not something we have to wait for. Jesus said that. He said, if they tell you it's over here or it's over there or it's coming, he said, don't believe them. He said, they're not telling you the truth. He said, the kingdom of God cannot be what? It cannot be observed, for the kingdom of God is something on the inside of you. But if you're slave to fear, if you're slave to the idea that you're only human, and not spirit, remember the word says, we're quickened again to life, and it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. The simplicity and the power of the word is taking the word at its word value. It is what it says, and it says what it is. It is spirit, and it is life. And when you're no longer in bondage to your fears or your jealousies or your envies or comparing yourself with someone else. You can't be compared to anyone else because there's no one that is called with the hierarchy that you are called into. No one has your position. The word says each and every one of you, individually, singularly, you're a specific body, part of the body of Christ. And the way God is going to manifest his kingdom to the nations of the earth, and we're standing, living, breathing in that very day and age, right here and now, is you understanding your position so you can walk in your privilege, which is to be an influence and bless the people, just like Solomon said, God, anoint me, give me wisdom, give me an understanding heart that I can lead your people so I know where to take them, so I know how to bless them, so I know how to raise the kingdom up in authority and power so the people aren't starving. How many people are spiritually starving today, just looking for something? Are you ready to grow, or do you just want your emotions to make you feel good? If your emotions tell you to praise, then you're a slave to your flesh. If you only thank God when your eyes tell you things are going right, then you're a slave. And you can't exercise and walk in the authority and the privilege of your royal calling, which is what God said. This is who you are to me. And God told him, he told the prophet, he said, go out and proclaim to the people. Tell them who they are. It's important that they know they are a royal priesthood unto me, and that I have empowered them and I am calling them to be my influence in the earth. That's why God made the earth. Think about it. God doesn't come to an end. He hasn't finished everything except on the cross. And that's for your power. That's for your privilege. That's for you to walk into the dawning of a new day unlike you've ever experienced before. It's time for the body to be anointed. It's time for PFC to step into the hierarchy of their calling. We're going to anoint some people in this house as leaders and kings. We're going to ordain in this house. That's what God has instructed me to do. We're going to do something that we haven't done in a way that we haven't done it before. We're going to make an impact in the world by a word of understanding that isn't following the leadership of man or the flesh or just trying to get something. See, God is not in want for your praise. You can think about that for a minute. You can say he's crazy, and that might be true, but what I'm saying is true. God is not in want for praise. He lacks nothing. He wants for nothing. The praise we bring him is God empowering you to know who you are in him and who he is in you. Because it's through the privilege. God works through royal bloodline. He speaks through royal bloodline. But he could give you everything you want. And number one, it's not going to satisfy you. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. It's never enough, and you know that. You just bought that new car. You just bought that new bike. You just bought that new, and someone flew past you in something just a little bit shinier than yours. And now, I want that. You just want God to throw you out in the deep water and just say, God, if you'll throw me out there, then I'll be able to swim. I'm going to tell you something. Something I learned recently. They say you never forget how to ride a bike once you've learned. Well, you may not forget, but you may not be as proficient. My neighbor, a little while ago, he said, hey, Gary, hop on this bike. And it was like a crazy expensive bike. I did the same thing on a motorcycle once, but we won't necessarily talk about that today. The woman did survive. And you think I'm joking, but I'm not. But I hopped on the bike, and I took off, and it was fast. And it's not like the old bikes I used to ride where you had the pedal and work. You just hit that pedal, and you're just gone. And I thought, man, this is really cool. And I could ride it, but I wasn't as proficient as I thought. Same thing happened not long ago when we decided we were going to go swimming. I haven't swam in probably 20 years. But once you swim, you don't forget, right? See, there's something about thinking you can do something, and then there's something else about the understanding of what it takes to do it. And it's the same thing with God's Word. We can talk a lot, but what's the impact? What's the influence that begins first of all in you? How much peace is on the inside? Because Jesus, he said he is the Prince of Peace. He said, John 14:27, Old King James says it like this, "Peace I leave with you." This is Jesus speaking. He said, "My peace I give to you. And I don't give it to you the way the world does, because the world can't give it. But it can take it away, that kind of peace." But he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you." And he said, "But don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." 365 times the Word of God says that. One time for every day of the year. Fear not, for the Lord your God is with you. And, you know, I said, I'm not going to fear. I jumped in a pool the other day. And I just jumped in the deep end, and I'm just going to swim the length of the pool, because you never forget how to swim. You know, there's something about the core that helps you swim better. If the core is strong. I had been working out and doing some things that I've done for a long, long time, but I did them a little incorrectly, and I ended up with a little sciatic pain. I forgot about that. So I jumped in the pool, and I decided I'm going to swim the length of the pool from the deep, all the way across the deep end. And there's my wife and my daughters in the pool, and like, hey, Dad's swimming, cool. And my one daughter looks and goes, huh, he's really hitting that water hard, isn't he? And I'm swimming across the pool, and I'm realizing, I think I have forgotten how to swim. And so I start slapping the water like a seal. This is no joke. And I'm probably about 4 feet from the edge of the pool, and two things are going across my mind. Number one, I'm Dad, and I don't want my girls to think Dad doesn't know how to swim, or that he's so old that he can't swim. So I really have to make this. And my wife is there, and I want her to say, wow, babe, go, man, go. Look at my husband go, you know. I get about 4 feet from the pool, and I realize I don't think I know how to swim very well anymore. I was treading water, but when I say treading water, if you see one of those cartoons where they're just treading water, that was me. I was slapping the water. I was just trying to stay afloat, trying to reach the edge. And by very last stroke, I thought, if I don't grab the edge, I'm going down, and that's going to be really embarrassing. Thank God, I think he stretched my arm just a little bit. I grabbed the edge, and I pulled it up. I turned, and I said, there, I did it. And I said, and my daughter said, Dad, you all right? And I said, yeah, I think I forgot how to swim. See, it's the core. It's the core. And it's being conditioned. When I started to swim, I realized that sciatica was still there. And it didn't want my leg to move up and down and back and forth. And my body, the further I went, the deeper I got. Until I was swimming, and all that was above the water was just about right here, the bottom of my lip and my nose. I made it to the edge, and I stand here today saying I did not drown. But how many times do we drown? How many times do we walk on the water like Peter and we forget to look in the direction we're supposed to? It's the core. It's the core. Went to the chiropractor and he said, because I worked my legs, my arms, my back and all that. He says, it's the core, Gary. You have to work the core. You have to strengthen the core so you can do all. It's the core, the center, the centrifuge. Christ is the center. We're not called to get saved and make it to heaven. That's part of the glorious package. But we're called to be a demonstration of the kingdom of God and his power. We're called to walk in the authority of a royal bloodline. We're called to know that our core is strong. We're not in bondage to fear. Don't fear what's coming. Prophesy what's coming. Don't wonder if it's going to be all right a few years down the road. Don't wonder about the economy. Prophesy what God has said to you. Do what the woman said. The minute I touch the hem of his garment, and I will be healed. What the Hebrew children said just before they were thrown in the furnace. We're not going to hesitate for a moment. We're not slaves to bondage or you, O King. We serve the one and only true God. And let it be known to you and everyone that can hear our voice, we will not bow down to anyone but our God. And then the word says they threw them in. And all that happened when they went into the fire is what bound them up, lost its control over them, and they were free. Every time you step into a place that seems too difficult, seems too hot, too hard, impossible. Know something. God doesn't need your praise. He wants you to praise Him so you know how authoritative He is in you, so you know how powerfully in Christ He sounds in you. So you take on your royal decree. You take on your royal voice. You take on your royal attitude, and you realize it's no longer you that lives. This is now Christ living in me. Strengthen your core. Your core values, your core understanding of who you really are. You're not set out in a world that's just going to Sheol in a handbasket. You're set out in a time and a season to see the favor of God reign and rule in your life, and God make you witnesses to the nations of the earth, where even the leaders call you blessed of God, blessed of the Most High, because your core is sound. You can walk on the water if you need to. You can swim from one end to the other. Not because you think you can, because you know your core is solid in who He is. The Word says, if a man believes what he says will come to pass, I've said this many times, he will have whatsoever he says. So religion says, just say it over and over and over and over. But that's not what the Word's saying. The Word's saying is when you know you can keep your word, when you know what you say is who you are and what you're going to do, if you believe what you say will come to pass, then you will have whatsoever you say. The centurion is a great example for that. Jesus said, I can come to your house and I can heal your servant. He said, no, I'm not worthy. It's okay that you don't think you're worthy, because you're not. But remember, it's no longer you that lives. It's Christ right now that's living in you. And the life you're living in this body, in this temple, you're living by the faith of the Son of God who gave Himself for you, paid this supreme price, not so you could just get out of trouble, but so you could get into principalities and powers from God Himself, so you could reign and rule in the authority, so you could take up serpents, so you could walk across a dry, you walk across a deep sea, you could walk along dry ground and God would bring up water. He would make a rock bleed water for you. Christ is every place you look. We don't have to wait for another day where God does something else so we can walk in the joy and the privilege and the power. Stop waiting for a day that's already here. They did that in the New Testament in the beginning. Jesus, the Son of God, the kingdom is God, God is there, and they're saying, show us the kingdom. And Jesus is saying, you're looking at it. The kingdom of God is at hand. The power of His leadership is at hand. You've nothing to fear. You've nothing to be afraid of. But if you don't know your authority and your privilege, it's like the children of Israel whom God set free and was calling them into their royal priesthood, but they wouldn't believe that God was God with them. And all they wanted God to do was what they thought they needed done. Will you believe God that He knows more about who you are and what you need? Do you know He formed you? And only God knows your true form. Only God knows who you really are. In the Genesis of time, God said, let us create man in our likeness and in our image, and let him have rule over all the earth. That power, that privilege, that authority still belongs to us. I mean, people are talking about Jesus coming. I want to say something to you. You better hope not yet. We need to stand in the position. We don't need to be rescued. We've already been saved. What we need is to stand in the powerful place of privilege and say, God, here's the talents you gave me, and they're double. Here's what you put in my hand, and I'm bringing an offering of praise, saying, great is the Lord my God in me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. 1,000 can fall at my hand, and 10,000 at my right hand. It can't come nigh me. Only with my eyes will I behold and see the reward of the wicked, because I've set my affections on you. That's the body of Christ. Are you ready to grow? The Word says you should be teaching now. You're not called to get saved and just be okay. You're not called to get saved and just be delivered from your problems. You're called to get saved and be transformed into the likeness of His image so you bear witness. So Jesus said, all these things you've seen me do, you can do. But there's a lot of things you didn't see me do that are in you, that I'm putting in you. And I'm giving you the power of the Holy Spirit. And He's going to bear witness of who I am. You'll stand in a day and an age where people will say, what is going on? And you'll say, exceeding abundant and above all I knew to ask or think, according to the power of God that is working in my life. This is the greatest season of your life. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And you know this about PFC, those that are in the house and those that are viewing. We give credit to one God, only one God. He's the Lord that created the heavens and the earth, all that is, all that was, and all that will ever be. And He rules through a royal bloodline, and that bloodline is Christ. He and He alone has all authority and all power. He and He alone. Someone that doesn't like you, someone that frustrates you, they don't have power over you. How many have ever heard people say, well, you know, I know the devil doesn't have any power, but he's trying to stop me? No, he's not. He knows he can't stop you. He might hope you think that, but he knows he can't stop you, can't even follow you. The Lord leads you in the way that you should go. The scripture said this, it said, submit yourself therefore unto God. By doing so, you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The real truth is, if the devil by chance happens to get in your presence, and you're surrendered to God, he's going to run away from you. He's not going to run after you. Submit yourself therefore unto God. In so doing, you resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And this is what he said. How do we resist the evil? How do we make it run from us? He said, draw close to me, and I'll draw close to you. Solomon said, God, give me a heart of wisdom, so I can bless the people, so I know to discern between good and evil, right and wrong. So I know how to walk with the understanding of the mind of a king, because I'm just a youth. I don't know how to do such things. I haven't been trained in this. Josiah, 8 years old, raised up his king, where it says he followed the heart of his father, David. And it After 18 years of rule, he ruled only 18 years. He's about 26 years old. Shaphan, the court secretary, brings in the book of the Lord, the book of law, and begins to read it. And he rinses his clothes. And he says, we haven't been following the word of the Lord. I want to tell you something. There's a responsibility for privilege in the kingdom of God. And I'm not going to lie to you. But I'm going to tell you this, it's not hard. Hardship comes from slavery, just like it was in Egypt. But rest comes from Christ, who is your deliverer and your king. And he's not a king that rules over you. He's a king that rules through you. His royal countenance, his royal favor rules over everyone in all nations, but not like a king ruling over you. He says, my kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. My dominion is an eternal dominion. And there are so many forms of God's glory, and each and every one of you are going to encounter an opportunity to become part of that glory of God. And James says, count it all joy when you enter into the different trials of your faith, knowing that it's there to produce, not hardship. Hardship comes from slavery, but rest comes from it is finished. The completion, the day of rest. It is finished. The royal power, the ability to help you, to quicken your mind so so you know how to think correctly, to free yourself from anxiety and fear and uncertainty. Uncertainty is a tormentor. It can torment the richest and the wisest of men and women. And certainty is only found in your assurance of your relationship with who He is. And it is your faith that says who you are. Your faith in who He is. And God wants that. He's created this world so He could express something that only this world can express. I've said this many times, I'll say it again. If heaven was everything God wanted, if it was done, everything God wanted, why did He create earth? And of all the angelic hosts, the Word says, the angels of God alone are countless, like Abraham's seed. They're without number. Without the host of heaven, with all the heavenly host and the heavenly beings, why would He need man? Well, the angels of God, they don't need faith to see Him. But you do. There's a favor in faith that only the redeemed humanity whom God has created have privilege to. One time Thomas said to the disciples, he said, I won't believe that Jesus rose from the dead unless I can thrust my hand into His side and put my finger in the palm of His hand. So one day, there's Jesus, and there's Thomas, and Thomas says, now I believe. But see, it was Thomas's eye that convinced him. It was his flesh. It was his senses. And Jesus said, you believe, but blessed are those who have not seen. Blessed. That word blessed literally means to be able to bow before the presence of God's glory. That word blessed, when Adam and Eve were blessed, that word blessed means they were surrendered to the authority of God's will and God's word. And then God says, now I need you to do something. And I don't need you to do this for me. I need you to do it for you, so you and I can come together in the unity of my word. The word of God is the power. And when God says do, you do. And when He says don't, you don't. And you don't talk about how hard it is, because that's slavery. That's not the mind of royalty. That's the mind of slavery. And if you think like a slave, you're not going to live like a king. But you say of the Lord, I am redeemed by your blood. I'm baptized in your spirit. I'm filled with your word and power, and out of my belly is going to flow rivers of life-giving water. So what do? You're going to go out and be a blessing. You're going to bless somebody. You're going to speak life to somebody. Somebody may cut you off, and you give them a courtesy tap on your horn, and they open up their window and start talking to you, and they're not blessing you. You have an opportunity to be a slave to your emotions. Or do something different. You know where the word says if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn the other cheek? I have a little different take on what that means. Someone says something, not necessarily just slaps you, but slaps you verbally, offensively, slaps you in the face. It's easy to react. But it takes the responsibility of kingship to respond. Turn your head and think for a minute. Consider your royal position. Turn your other cheek before you react. Reaction arrested is kingship in rule. If you'll arrest your actions, your attitude, your reaction, you're taking dominion over your flesh. That's your call. Kings and priests to God. A king, Solomon knew, a king is going to have to consider when the Philistines tried to come in, when enemies tried to come in, when people say and do things, they try to take over the kingdom, something has to happen. Solomon knew how to enter into the rest. It's called the rest. It's a privileged place of honor. See, because royalty isn't in want. You don't want. You don't really have a want. You may have desires, but God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called you into glory and virtue. And if you'll just say, God, you've given me the power to be a blessing. God asked Moses again, what's in your hand? He said, a stick, a shepherd's stick. It's old, it's dirty. God said, I'm going to show you something. When my word is spoken to you and you look at that stick, according to God has said, that stick will become my staff. So God said, throw it down. He threw it down, turned into a serpent. God said, pick it up. He jumped back. He said, whoa. God said, not whoa, go. So he reached down, he picked it up, turned back into a staff, and God said, that's my staff now. Why? Because God said so. Anything and everything in your life, no matter how challenging, how difficult, if you will say of the Lord, this is the day God has made, I'll rejoice, and I'm beginning to be glad in it. I'm going to rejoice and be exceedingly glad in it. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, so why would I consider anything? And if you think something evil is after you, the word says to make evil flee, submit yourself to God, and draw close to him, and evil will flee from you. And it's the truth. It's where Paul said, don't be double-minded. He said, a two-souled individual is unstable in all their ways. Let not that person think I'll receive anything from God. Don't let your tongue take dominion over you. Instead of saying I'm attacked, saying I'm being led. Instead of saying something's after me, say the favor of God is after me. He's pursuing me. It's so plain to see. And all I have to do is stop and worship him. And that's the truth. This is the greatest season of your life. Here's a word, and receive this as a word of prophecy, the word of the Lord. We ask God, give me this, and tell me this, and tell me that. Ask God, tell me what my form is. Tell me who I am. In your sight. And then bless. What is it God has put in your hand? We may claim to be royalty. Then we lack nothing. There's something of privilege in your hand. Something of privilege in your life that you can bless those around you. You don't have to go real far. They may be in your house. They may be in another city or across the street. But somebody's there that needs something you've got. And it's when you stop asking to just give me, and start saying, God, reveal who I am in you. Reveal my form. You created me. You formed me. You designed me after your will and after your image. Show me who I am. I promise you. I promise you by the word of God. If you'll do that, peace will come. What you're worried about will evaporate, and you'll see clearly what God is saying to you. Strength and courage will rise up in you. You'll be able to see the hand of God right on top of you. The psalmist says, your hand has rested on me. You've hemmed me in forward and backward, up and down. You've clothed me. You've covered me. Where could I go from your presence? And where could I flee from your spirit? This is that time for you. Would you stand with me today? Father, we praise and thank you for the greatness and the glory of your word. We thank you for your covenant to us. We are born of God. We didn't choose you. You've chosen us. You've called us. I pray, Father, for the eyes of your people to be opened to the privilege of royalty. But with that privilege, the responsibility to respond, to act according to your word. And not call it a hardship. The word says your word is not a weight to me. God has removed the weight of bondage from you. And I prophesy over this house, you're going to begin to walk in such joy that people are just going to want to be around you. And hear what you have to say just because of the joy. You know, it's not always just preaching to someone. Sometimes, you ever notice you try to preach to someone and they were inclined to come and listen to you? And when you start preaching to them, sometimes you push them away. It's not about telling them what you know about God. It's about you expressing who he is that draws people. Come on, we've all had people say, how are you? Why are you? What is it about you? And then when they say, the word says, now be ready to give an answer. And you say, well, since you asked, I'm happy during this time. I'm happy during COVID. I'm happy during the uncertainty of the economy. I'm happy because I'm not uncertain. I'm confident. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes you to lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside the quieted waters. He restores your soul. He leads you in the paths of righteousness. The scepter of the Lord, the scepter of God, is the scepter of righteousness. For his name's sake. Yea, though you walk through the shadows of death, Sheol, you fear no evil, because God is with you. His rod, his staff, they comfort you. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He anoints your head with oil and your cup runs over. Only good can pursue you all the days of your life. And you dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. That's yours. But your faith has to say, as Bartimaeus, I'm going to receive my sight. Today I'm going to be healed. Speak the word only. That's your royal privilege. You have the power to do that. Now, Moses, what's in your hand? Something is already in your hand to do something incredible because the waiting is over. This is the time to activate. This is the time to accelerate. This is the time to see what God has given you in your hand. Open your mouth and bless someone. Comfort someone. Speak to someone. Use the strength. Use the privilege. What has God put in your hands that you can significantly be a blessing to someone? There's something there. And the moment that you do, your mind begins to transform and you begin to feel the privilege and the power of your royal anointing. And you don't feel afraid. Fear will leave you. Doubt will leave you. Anxiety will leave you. Depression will leave you. And the joy of the Lord will rise up in your heart. And just organically, you'll begin to worship and praise God. And in that, God will speak to you and show you great and mighty things, inscrutable things you do not know. Are you ready to believe that today? Are you ready to believe that today? Come on in the house. Are you ready to believe that today? I take this rope in my hand because it speaks to me. It says something to me. It's just a rope. I got it in Israel. A friend got it for me, brought it to me. I boiled it, anointed it, burned it. Did a lot of, just because you have to do that stuff to make it soft. Sometimes God has to send you into a fire that won't burn you, but it'll make you soft, make you pliable to his word. Sometimes you have to be baptized, always. So the power and the privilege of his anointing saturates your heart and your mind, and you know I'm born again. I remember the day of my baptism. I was buried with him, and I'm risen in his likeness. And this rope reminds me of something Jesus said. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. The Greek literally means the kingdom of God is in your grasp. Isn't that awesome? The kingdom of God is in your grasp. And this rope is strong. And it reminds me of the power of the kingdom and that it's in my hand. And then there's a scripture that says, whatever we release from the earth, see how powerful God has made us in the earth? He gave such a gift. Gave us such a gift. Jesus Christ, and then anointed us with the Spirit. He said, whatever you release from the earth is going to be released from heaven. And when it hits here, it's going to look different even than it does up there. Because this is a place of faith, and that pleases God. And so this rope reminds me of that. The kingdom of God is within our grasp. So I like to take a hold of it and say, this is where the kingdom of God is. Just like Jesus said, don't say tomorrow. Say this is the day. This is the day God has made. So we call this pulling on heaven. It's us coming together in prayer, saying the kingdom of God is right here. We're here to make heaven restless, which means the angels, the word says, are looking down, waiting to say, what are you going to do? What are the men and women of faith going to say? What are they going to demonstrate? What revelation by the Holy Spirit is God going to show us? Just like the angel said to John, hey, we're in this together. Worship God. So I'm going to ask you to raise your hands today. And just say, Father, I worship you. You are God, Almighty, ever present, the Lord with me. And I praise you and I thank you that you love me beyond what I could do, beyond what I've done, beyond my success, beyond my failures. God, you love me. Now, if there's anyone in the house you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'll make it real simple for you. I want you to just say, Jesus, I know you came because your word says you laid down your life for me. I receive your gift of eternal life. I believe that you saved me today because your word says so. I can't figure it out in my mind, but my faith tells me it's true. So I say with my mouth, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Fill me with your spirit and your power and be glorified in me. Say, Lord, let me be a witness. Come on, Lord, let me be a witness as you fill me with your spirit and your power, just like you said. In Jesus' name, I pray. If you believe that, I want you to lift your voice and shout, yeah. Come on. Let's just worship for a second. Come on. Make a sound. Make a sound to God. Make a sound to the Lord. Come on, make a sound. God said, in the latter days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters, they're going to prophesy. And on your young and on the old, I'm going to pour out your spirit. Well, I want to tell you something. That's not a day to wait for. Peter got up and said, this is that. This is already that day that was spoken by the word of the Lord. This is that season. This is that time. He said, there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And he's making you strong in his will and in his word and in his wisdom. And I prophesy over this house today. Some of you have stepped in here. Maybe some of you for your very first time. But God is saying to you, I want you to grow. And the answer to getting where you need to go and what you've been asking me for is to understand me in a way you've not known me before. I want to reveal you to way in ways that you have never known me, you've never thought about me, ways you've never even known how to ask or pray. And I prophesy over this house and over those that are viewing today that there is an outpour of the Spirit of God in revelation in such way that those that contended with you will bow to the faith of God that's in you, because you bow to the living God, because you're saying in your heart, Lord, I know you're with me and I'm not afraid, because I believe you are the Lord of all. You're ever present. You never left me. You never forsaken me. You didn't go anywhere. You're right here with me, right here, right now, in the fullness of your spirit and power. Fear not, for the Lord your God is with you. Doubt not in your heart. Only just believe. There's only one thing you really have to do. Just one thing. One thing. Believe God. Just one thing. Believe God. And then seek Him. Seek Him. You ever run or walked or worked out or worked until you were just so tired and you were so involved in what you were doing that you didn't think about maybe stopping or eating or drinking a glass of water? And then when you finished, you were just so thirsty and so hungry. Anyone hungry right now? As the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul longs after you, oh God. As a deer pants after the water, God, I'm so busy. I'm so involved in who you are. You're going to get so involved in who Christ in you is. So involved in what he's doing through you that you're going to be so thirsty. And when you drink from the well, if he calls it the living water, the water of the Spirit, influence and power and insight and understanding, you're going to grow. The word says, listen, when you needed to be teaching, you needed milk. That day is coming to an end. God is raising up his body in such profound influence and power that it's going to change the world. Literally change the world. We're living in the dawn of that day where God is bearing witness by his Spirit that he is Christ in you. And Lord, as I'm going to prophesy this to you, this coming season in your life, you're going to find more honor and less pushback than you have since the beginning. You're going to feed the hungry. You're going to give them drink, not just water, but spiritual water. And you're going to find leaders, business individuals that rule certain camps are going to come to you, and they're going to say, we want to help you. We believe in the God. We don't understand. I'm hearing this. We don't understand. Teach us. Show us. We want that peace and that joy you have, because we're about to be attacked. Where you're going, they know this. And God says, through you, I will give you a word of prophecy that will calm their heart and encourage them in their faith. And the Lord will answer your prayer, because when you call on him, he'll answer you and do great and mighty things, even beyond what you know. This is that season of time. The hand of the Lord, as Psalms 39 says, the hand of the Lord has rested on you. He's hemmed you before and behind, up and down, inside and out. The Lord is your protector. He is your confidence. He is your comforter. He is your strength. He is the joy of your spirit. The Lord reigns and rules in you, with you, and through you. And this is the greatest season of your life. Come on. If you believe that, say I do. Say I do. God, we give you praise. Lord of heaven and earth, great and mighty God. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken. Let the glory of God be poured out in such a form and a fashion that the nations of the earth bow before you, Lord God. From the east and the west, the north and the south, God be glorified. And I prophesy again to the north. Put your shield back in its sheath. Put your sword back in its sheath and your shield on the ground. And lay it over and say, the Lord will be my shield. If you do not put your sword in your sheath, the Lord will break it in half, and you will stand with only half a sword in your sheath. For if you will humble yourself right now, in this day, as the Lord calls to the north, God says, I will show you my blessing. I will restore what has been destroyed. And I will bring unity between nations, and I will show you the prosperity of the Lord. Let the nations, let the church, let the people pray and declare, God, bless your nations, Lord. Call them to repentance, O God. Let them see the kingdom of God is at hand. You can move the heart of Nebuchadnezzar, God. You can move the heart of the nations, of the rulers that are determined to bring war and destruction. God, so bring peace and bring joy. And let that same peace and joy rule in the hearts of your people here today. God, let the voice of wisdom be in the mouths of your people. Before the end of this year, let your people say, I took the staff God put in my hand, and the Lord parted seas. He created wilderness in the wilderness, rivers of water. The rock had to feed me and quench my thirst. The heavens rained down and blessed me. Before the end of this year, God, show you your place of privilege, your place of authority. God, bear witness that Christ is working in you to the glory of God. And may you declare, this truly has been the greatest season of my life. Do you believe it? Give the Lord a shout in the house. Let's say it like this. Favor of the Lord. How many believe the favor of God? Not a devil, not a demon, not an evil person, but the favor of God is after you. Say it like this. Favor of God is after me. He's pursuing me. Say it again. Prophesy. Come on. Favor of God is after me. He's pursuing me. Say it again. Prophesy. If you believe those things which you say will come to pass, you will have whatsoever you say. Favor of God is after me. He's pursuing me. It's so plain to see. Come on, say it with me. Ready? One, two, three, say. The favor of God is after me. He's pursuing me. It's so plain to see. Come on, feel it. Favor of God is after me. He's pursuing me. It's so clear to see. Favor of God is after me. He's pursuing me. It's so clear to see. Come on. The favor of God is after me. He's pursuing me. It's so plain to see. Come on. Clap your hands, all you people. Worship God. Declare His greatness. Declare His glory. Declare His presence. Declare His power. The favor of God is after me. He's pursuing me. It's so plain to see. One more time. Come on. Favor of God is after me. He's pursuing me. It's so plain to see. And all I have to do is just stop and worship Him. Just stop, hear a pin drop, and worship Him. It's coming. It's here. It's present. In power. Just stop. Hear a pin drop. Worship Him. Worship Him. Father, we glorify You in this place. God, we give You thanks in Jesus' name. Are You ready to grow? Are You ready to go? This is that season. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house. Yeah.